into practice, staff set up several work-based learning experiences and on-the-job training experiences with differing schools and businesses. Several counselors have been meeting with teachers of the visually impaired to partner with the public schools and providing some training on the use of jazz and also the game. Field staff also network with a number of entities to educate about our services. Some of them are Employ OMA, Employ Lincoln, Employ Kearney, Employ Grand Island, Employ Grand Island, and Employ Columbus. For Project Search, which is also a partnership with the Lincoln Public Schools and the Embassy Suite Hotels. Helen Keller National Center, Coalition for Older Adults Health, Salvation Army Norfolk, Disability Rights Planning Committee, Pizza Hut in Madison, Madison Public Library, Atkinson Public Library, United Way in Columbus, Spanish Networking in Fremont, Lincoln Regional Center, College at the Santee Reservation, Amazon, Nebraska Department of Transportation, Mutual of Omaha, Omaha Public Power District, Boys and Girls Club in Omaha, Vocational Development Center, Metro Community College, Job Corps in Denison in Iowa, Nebraska Center for the Education of Children Who Are Blind and Visually Impaired, Developmental Disability Centers, Miller Public Schools, Districts, Human Development, Donovan Community Center, Adams Corner Market, Teaching Treat, YMCA, and Vocational Rehabilitation Program Managers. Number of clients on all studies is served at the end of the period for OIB was 576. This shows a 30% increase from last year. Independent living under 55 was 97. And for fair clients was 450. This quarter we have clients getting jobs as follows: assembler, business operations specialist, community and social service specialist, food prep, fitness trainer, healthcare support worker, helper or construction trade, janitor, housekeeping, massage therapist, mental health counselor, receptionist, rehabilitation counselor, and retail salesperson. Training center, I'm going to skip this as this is the focus, unless you want me to address them.
That's okay. Okay. Yeah, that's okay.
And then the Nebraska Business Enterprise, the state office building renovation is completed, so the vendor is back there. The standing building is still in renovation. And the Department of Health and Human Services contacted us because they want to have our machines in three of their buildings because the contract with their vendors there is expiring, and they heard that we do a better job than they do, but they also know that we have the priority. Mm-hmm. So they're going to give us three buildings, and we are working on that. Hopefully, we're going to start move in there by the end of the year.
Nice.
And the retreat that was going to be in September has been cancelled because we, or the MBE is short of staff. So that's the report, and I'll be glad to answer any questions.
Well, first, Carlos, I just, like I say, that's, there's a lot of outstanding stuff in that. I mean, I watched those PSAs on YouTube and thought they were very well professionally made. And just the, I mean, already the fact that you're getting results from that is just amazing, and just shows that it's money well spent. So I commend you and your staff and everyone involved in that. So
thank you.
So, anyone else?
I'd agree. As I read the reports and listened to everything, the PSAs and the interviews and stuff, I'm just impressed with what the commission staff is doing, and I want to publicly thank you all for your hard work.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah, it's mighty.
I've also seen several of the PSAs on TV that were done with Mary, and I went and watched the longer one that was done on YouTube, and they were just really great. Every time I see the PSA with Mary on TV, I think, you know, she just set such a good example, and it, they're showing them a lot, too. It's not just once every week or whatever. I mean, I'm seeing them every day more than once on TV, and I think that's really, really good. So, yeah, you guys are doing really well.
Well, I've been reading these reports for like 7 years, and I thought this was the most, you know, there was just more stuff being happening, you know. I love to hear the jobs, you know, that's what we're about.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of jobs, and that's, you know, that's what we want to do. Two questions. One, I'm a little bit concerned about the western part of the state because we do have a staff shortage. Are we doing anything to kind of put a Band-Aid on that so we can serve the people out west until we get those positions filled?
Erin, you want to?
Yeah. We've just been carrying higher caseloads. I think it's working okay in terms of client service delivery because of the awesome counselors that we do have out there right now. Mm-hmm. So I'd say they're a little bit overworked, and the paperwork side is suffering a bit, but it's always client services that are the forefront, and I think they're coming off okay still.
Good. Well, we appreciate that because we need to keep serving those. And yep. And the last thing was, I love that we're doing advertising and promoting. If we're doing our job right, it's probably going to mean we're going to have more people calling and wanting services.
Yep.
Are we prepared for that? Because we don't want to promise what we can't deliver.
We are getting prepared for that, and that's why we're doing this succession planning. We do have the funds. Mm-hmm. We can continue subcontracting on some of the areas. But, we want to make sure that if we're getting too many referrals, we might stop the PC.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we can't promise what we can't deliver. Exactly. But, you know, it's also, you know, we need to promote what we've done, but we need to keep working on what we're going to do.
That's so right.
And and I think we're probably better positioned than ever because I just see us as more of a seamless agency where, you know, it's just the work gets done and, you know, we have people come and go or promoted, but the work keeps getting done. So that to me, that means we got a good, solid, you know, organization, a good agency, and we're getting it done somehow. So I'm just impressed, having been on this board for almost 8 years. Well, the progress that we made, and the money is awesome. You know, to get virtually double the state budget and then some is incredible, and we can do that because we're given results. And so keep up the good work. I appreciate that you're working with other states to show them how we do it so that they can maybe do it too. So thank you.
Thank you.
I agree with my colleagues, and I'm glad that everything is going forward and we're doing good, and hopefully we can get people out west I think that will increase our ability to provide more services out west.
Yep.
Okay, so the next thing we have on the agenda is the public comment period. So, do you have any comments from the public?
Love.
Barbara?
I talk fairly loud, so I think probably
okay.
Concerning the PSAs, the public service announcements, and the YouTube, I also think those are great. The interview on the radio was too, although I'm concerned about the confusion that happens when we talk about the school for the blind rather than the center.
Yep.
Because right now, some people could be thinking, since the school for the blind, as it now is called a center, and now if this center starts being called the school for the blind, we're just going to have all kinds of confusion. So I really think branding or that kind of thing is important, and so we need to, I would think, be consistent about that.
And we have, the part of the school is, unfortunately, that's what the journalists do. We keep telling them it's called training center.
I know, but we need to.
And I did follow up telling them that, but
yeah.
Yep. Okay. Well, I wanted to make that
comment. No, I appreciate
it. Also, I think that there should be descriptive video versions of these. I know that some of what is said is self-explanatory, but I'm guessing that there are other visual things going on, and I know that we want to target family members and other people besides blind people, but if we don't target ourselves, then we're missing something, and we can make it more powerful for other people to understand what descriptive video is and why it's necessary and how useful it can be and how unintrusive it can be also. So I recommend that there be descriptive video versions of those things.
Yep, we're going to work on that.
And I'm guessing that right now maybe the Spanish captions are visual. I think they also should be voiced in Spanish.
We are going to have a separate one just in Spanish. In fact, the one they have now, the caption, they use Google, I guess.
Oh, God.
So I know.
Wow.
I know.
Google Translate is, well, anyway.
Anyhow, we're doing a separate one just in Spanish speakers.
Okay, so those are my three suggestions.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's it.
Thank you, Barbara. Anyone else? Okay. Very good suggestions, Barbara. I like that.
Yeah.
Okay, the next thing we have is our focus topic, the NCBVI Central Orientation Center.
Not to be confused with the school.
No,
yeah, right.
Definitely
right.
Not.
Special school. Yes.
Microphone.
Where would you?
I would love one.
Otherwise,
I'm going to have my hands full.
Thank you.
I don't want to have my back to anybody, though.
Would this be your point?
Yeah,
you're
right.
You're
all right. And
I've got a microphone here for you if you want.
Thank you.
Well, before you get started, I just want to say thank you for the document that you shared for us to read. It was very, very thorough.
Yes,
thank you.
Definitely.
Well, I promise I won't say everything that I wrote in that document, or we would be here for the next hour. So, good morning, commissioners, and thank you for the opportunity to speak with you today about the Nebraska Center for the Blind. So, the center was established in 1974 as a comprehensive rehabilitation training program for blind and visually impaired adults. Currently, Nebraska is one of only six programs certified by the National Blindness Professional Certification Board, or NBPCB, as a structured discovery center. Centers wishing to be approved by the National Blindness Professional Certification Board are evaluated every 3 years to ensure that their program is consumer-focused and has a positive philosophy of blindness. Centers holding this certification have demonstrated their use of structured discovery methods and principles and are approved to provide immersion, internship, and apprenticeship opportunities for those training to become structured discovery professionals. Structured discovery is a consumer-based rehabilitation model derived out of the collective knowledge, experiences, and attitudes of blind people who have achieved independence and success. It is based on cognitive paradigm rather than the vision paradigm that is typical of more conventional training programs. This teaching methodology was first tested in Iowa during the 1950s, 60s, and 70s under Dr. Kenneth Jernigan, and it was brought to Nebraska in 1974 under the director, Dr. James Nyman. Nebraska was the first training center to adopt the use of sleep shades full-time, and we employed the first blind cane travel instructor. Nebraska was instrumental in spreading this philosophy to other states, and the term structured discovery was coined in Nebraska by a British researcher and psychologist who came to study blind travel instructors. And that's all I'm going to do for a history lesson, because Barbara Loos is here and could give you a more thorough one. So structured discovery training in a residential program is strongly correlated with higher educational attainment, higher salary, and higher rates of employment, which is important since blind people have a roughly 70% unemployment or underemployment rate. The center has five classes: cane travel, technology, shop, home management, and braille, which we'll be taking a tour of in a little while. Students attending the center participate in all classes, and training lasts for an average of 6 to 9 months, but can be extended to a maximum of 1 year. Like all other NCBDI services, there is no cost to attend the center. Each class follows a curriculum, but the training is customized based on the previous knowledge and experience of the students, any specific needs, such as secondary disabilities that the student may have, goals, learning style, and speed, and their goals for each of the classes and what they hope to do after training. Class sizes are typically 1 to 3 participants per instructor to facilitate individualized instruction. Training is available to consumers of both the vocational rehabilitation program as well as the older individuals who are blind OID program. Nebraska is unique in this regard because many states that have training centers only allow their VR clients to attend. But since 2019, when Nebraska received additional state funding, we've opened up the training center to OID consumers. Students live in apartments in downtown Lincoln rented by the commission. There are 9 efficiency apartments and a 2-bedroom apartment, which is available for a student who's the primary caregiver for a young child or a student who requires an overnight nurse or home health aide. Students live in apartments to develop independent living skills so that they can cook, clean, do laundry, shop for groceries, and manage all other activities of daily life without the assistance of family and friends. Through classes and community-based activities, students also learn problem-solving and transferable skills so that the locus of control is internal rather than external. The student is an active participant in learning who takes responsibility for their own safety, success, and failures rather than simply memorizing visual information that is given to them by their instructor. The transferability of skills is important so that what students learn here in Lincoln can be applied to their home communities. Students wear sleep shades during training so that they learn to function regardless of the amount of eyesight that they have today or in the future, and regardless of what the environment is like. Their ability to safely and efficiently function doesn't have to depend on environmental modifications. One consistent thing about low vision is that it's not reliable, so eliminating the reliance on low vision increases learning for the participant and also helps the instructor accurately assess progress. Prospective students take a tour of the center and they complete a 3-day stay where they attend classes under sleep shades and stay overnight at the apartments to get a feel for the program in order to make an informed choice regarding attendance. In federal fiscal years, FFY 2017 through 2021, and for those who don't know, fiscal year runs from October 1st through September 30th, so from FFY 2017 to 2021, there were 47 consumers who attended center training, which is an average of 9.4 students per year. In federal fiscal year 22, we had 10 consumers attend training. Out of those, 5 graduated, 4 left training due to medical reasons, and 1 chose to discontinue training prior to graduating. So far in fiscal year 23, we had 7 consumers attend training. 1 of those graduated, 1 chose to discontinue training, and 5 are still currently attending the center. There were 10 consumers who attended a 3-day stay in FFY 2019, 3 in FFY 20, and 9 in FFY 2021 for an average of 7.3. In FFY 2022, there were 6 3-day stays, and so far this fiscal year, there have been 11. In federal fiscal year 2022, there were 18 tours and 6 3-day stays, and out of those 6 3-day stays, 3 started training, 1 plans to begin training once family situation permits, and 1 was unable to attend due to worsening health problems. So far in FFY 2023, there have been 19 tours and 11 3-day stays. And out of the 11 3-day stays, 6 started training, 3 decided that center training was not a good fit for them, and 2 are unable to attend training at this time due to health problems, but plan to attend in the future. I lost my place. Okay. So enrollment at the center is on a rolling basis. So new students are starting training at all times of the year without having to wait for the next training session to begin. This allows us to meet them where they are rather than have a minimum skill level requirement for admission and classes being taught in a group format. There are no predetermined starting and ending dates, so students do not need to wait months before they can begin training, and they're able to graduate earlier or stay longer if needed and receive individualized instruction while they're here. The nature of rolling enrollment, varying skill levels, and differences in training time means that our enrollment fluctuates throughout the course of a year. In addition to providing training to consumers, the Nebraska Center for the Blind provides 600 hours of sleep shade training to new NCBDI employees. This is a requirement in order to earn the Certified Vocational Rehabilitation Counselor for the Blind in CVRCD. In federal fiscal year 2021, which was October 1st, 2020 through September 30th, 2021, we had 6 staff members attend the center. In the following year, there were 9, and so far this fiscal year, there have been 11. Training for some staff crossed fiscal years, so the total who attended training since 2020 is 23 staff, which is more than half of NCBDI's positions. And there are another 5 positions currently open, plus the one for CAT, which was just announced today, that will soon be coming open. So to conclude, I want to share with you some of the steps we have taken to increase enrollment at the center. We're providing more tours and three-day stays to consumers interested in center training, even if they're not currently able to attend. For example, students still attending high school, consumers who are employed currently or who need to be employed right away out of financial necessity, and also new NCBDI consumers who are still adjusting to blindness. Some tours have also been offered virtually for consumers who live far away from Lincoln, and some consumers have been given the opportunity to continue training immediately after successful completion of a three-day stay if there would be a significant burden to travel or if there's an immediate need for training. Meetings with counselors and supervisors to identify consumers who may be a good fit for center training. We're doing continuing education and professional development for our center staff to remain competitive with private training centers and keep up on best practices and current technology. Many of our center staff had the opportunity to shadow their counterparts at other structured discovery centers or have a mentor come to Lincoln to provide on-site coaching. And we all attended the rehab conference this year. We're also increasing the amount that we pay for home management and apartment groceries, and also providing supplemental maintenance checks if needed to help offset the cost of attending training. Like all NCBDI programs, there's no charge to attend the Nebraska Center for the Blind. So to give you a little more information on that, if a student has a budget of $200 for apartment groceries and they overspend in the month, that additional amount would come out of their pocket. So the amount had been $150 and students were regularly going over. And so we increased the amount so that they don't have to pay out of pocket just because grocery prices went up. We increased attention being provided to our staff training. Our staff doing training at the center, of which there have been 23, as I mentioned, since 2020. We know that our NCBDI counselors are our referral source for the center. We've also reduced the prerequisites to attend the center, such as eliminating the requirement to have sleep shade experience prior to attending, eliminating the requirement to have note-taking skills and non-visual ability to tell time, just to name a few. Being able to use the stove was another one that we eliminated. So now we are allowing more flexibility for students. We're also allowing more flexibility for students who are in training to spend additional time at home in order to have the support of family during training. Our current prerequisites, and we feel that these are essential for the safety of the students, is to identify and administer their own medications without assistance or supervision, or if for some reason they cannot do that, they need to have a qualified professional who assists them. Manage personal hygiene independently, make and receive a phone call, survival cooking such as making a sandwich or a TV dinner in the microwave, setting an alarm so that they can rise independently, and the ability to evacuate in the event of an emergency. So we have accepted students who have never used a cane or sleep shades before coming to their three-day stay. We know that this is difficult on the clients, and it does require additional staff support, but we wanted to remove that potential barrier to training when our field was short-staffed. We've also hired a full-time client resource counselor in place of a part-time apartment technician, so this allows for additional evening support for clients who may need more intensive independent living skills training at the beginning of their center training, and it also provides a resource to help with arranging counseling, locating local providers, applying for housing, and other tasks that impact center training participation. We've been attending more NCBDI events, such as the College Workshop, Employment Conference, Silver Summit, meeting with the wages participants, and helping with project independence. We've been offering virtual vocational seminars to VR consumers around the state. We've been attending consumer organization conventions and local chapter meetings, helping with monthly group teachings in the Lincoln and Omaha offices. We're making some home visits to consumers and working with some consumers in the office who were not able to attend center training but needed intensive skills training. We've also been doing public education, such as tours provided to occupational therapy students at Union College, working with the O&M students at UNL, giving tours and educating students, staff, and family of a couple of private Christian schools here in Nebraska, community conversations podcast on radio talking books, a news story on Channel 8 here in Lincoln, speaking out for the blind on ACB Media, and NCBVI public service announcements. So I would be happy to answer any questions you may have and then to give you a tour of our training center.
Questions from the board?
Any plans for the 50-year celebration? Or?
So we have started thinking about that.
We're going to consult with Barbara Lowe.
Yeah.
That is definitely in the plans. Barbara doesn't know that yet. We are very lucky to have Barbara Lowe. She was one of the first instructors at the training center.
Set it on, yeah.
I hope you should do something, and you know.
We plan to do something.
Yeah, and I applaud all your efforts to reach out. I think that it's an ongoing process, and my experience is your best recruiting mechanism is success stories.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So you know, the more success stories that you create, the more people will hear about it, and the more they'll like to come. I know we have a very rigorous program that. You know, before they can leave, they have to demonstrate some skills. Has there ever been any consideration about, like, just offering, like, an abbreviated, whatever we get in a month type of... Yeah, I'm just trying to look for ways to... Not everybody can commit 6 to 9 months or a year, but if we could somehow get people in there just even for a little while, you know, I know the 3-day stays are nice and the tours, but somehow we just need to keep, you know, getting people in there and seeing what we can do, and I know we have standards,
I do know in the past, Mark, there have been a few people, myself included, who did like a summer thing, because like I did
okay.
It after, when I graduated from high school to when it came time for me to go out to college, and so.
Okay, well that's great.
That has been done in the past. I do not know if they...
Are you doing that now, Jessica, or would you consider it? Or?
We would definitely consider it. I did the same thing when I did my center training. You know, typically though, if someone's going to graduate in 2 or 3 months or 4 months, we would expect that they have a higher level of skill when they come in, just because...
Oh, sure, yeah.
Because if you're going to... Center training isn't just about the non-visual skills. That's certainly an important piece of it, but what is the more important piece that really helps you put those skills into practice is the self-confidence and the transferable problem-solving skills, and those are what take longer to develop to help inoculate a person against what society tells us about blindness and to be able to stand strong and to have the ability to problem-solve new situations and continue to grow and learn, because we never stop learning, even once we graduate from center training. I can tell you we are definitely open to having individuals come for a shorter period of time, but we want to try to balance that
sure.
And make sure that we're not watering down the quality of our program, because then everybody would want to come
yeah.
for cafeteria-style training. I want this, but I don't want that, and I'm going to be here for 30 days, and I expect a diploma when I'm done.
It is a unique program or service that it's not just... you know, get you a job. It's, you know, transform your life as a blind person. So.
Yeah. And I would also say, you know, we make an investment in this country in education. Students typically go to school from kindergarten through 12th grade. Many go on to college. So in the grand scheme of things, 6 to 9 months isn't a long time. But we also realize it's hard for individuals to be away from their families and their home communities and to set that time aside and to have their family supporting them or to be on government assistance while they take that time for the training. But I do believe it is a worthwhile investment.
Oh, absolutely. Well, the results speak for themselves. I've always wondered if we should do where are they now type of thing. Where do you do much follow-up after they've gone through the center to know how they're doing, you know?
We do not. We do anonymous consumer satisfaction surveys, typically on an annual basis, where consumers are contacted, but we don't know who they are when they provide their feedback. I'm not sure.
After a certain time, you know, they move.
Change, oh, I know.
Change
I know.
Different. So we,
I think everybody that graduates should be an ambassador that, you know, we ought to say, okay, you need to bring us three others. But, no, I'm being a little bit facetious.
No, I know.
But, yeah, thank you. A very good presentation.
Thank you.
One more thing is, and this is kind of going on what you were saying about diluting things and whatnot. I know from my experience when I went through the orientation center, I was like, I am going to college right after this. There's no way I'm delaying it, yada, yada. Looking back, you know, there have been plenty of times where I'm like, you know, I wish I would have done the whole thing. So
those individuals that have a reason of not attending the center, for whatever reason, are those individuals get additional consideration from the counselor of helping specific skills or tasks? For example, you know, cooking or technology or, you know, cane travel.
No, center training isn't appropriate for every individual, and we want them to make an informed choice. And sometimes after coming for a three-day stay, their informed choice is, this isn't for me, for whatever reason. That doesn't mean that their case is closed, they can't receive services, they're done. They definitely continue to work with their counselors in the field. They would have the option of attending group teachings to come into the office for the peer networking and group instruction. The commission can arrange for contractors to provide more intensive instruction if the counselor themselves is not able to do it due to caseload sizes. So we would even consider paying for someone to attend another center if there was a reason that that was a more beneficial option in their situation. So the important thing for us as an agency is that people get the skills training that they need in whatever way works best for them.
Good answer.
Very good answer.
I have one question, Brent, if you wouldn't mind.
Of course.
Many years ago, and I don't even remember when, I was reading the newsletters. Glenn Irvin would send me the center newsletters, and I remember one comment by someone who stayed in the apartments that the apartments needed to be updated. I'm wondering if anything has been done along those lines, or is that something that's not the center's problem? Or
so I've been here for just under 2 years, so I can't speak too much about what has been done before my time, but since I have been here, the building replaced the carpet in much of our portion of the building. They also did quite a bit of painting. They seem to be doing a much better job from what I've been told. Historically speaking, they're doing a much better job now addressing maintenance issues. The current building manager I've found to be very responsive when there's been emergencies like washer flooding or a student's bathtub isn't draining properly. Those things are being dealt with in a timely manner, and the quality of the work seems to be very good. So, students typically are very complimentary of the apartments, and they're neat and clean in They're very comfortable there.
Sometimes they want to stay there.
Okay, good, thanks.
Anyone else?
Are we going to do any specific advertising just for the training center?
Yes.
Or is that too narrow? Yeah.
No, we will do that. We will do also for senior blind.
Okay.
Another for transition. Yeah. We're waiting for deviation approval.
Yeah. Very good. And are you working with a social media type of expert, or are you kind of coming up with your ideas on your own?
No.
I wish we could take credit for it.
Good. You know, that whole social media thing is...
Yeah, and that's why we are doing it with them, because they know what they're doing.
Yeah, good. Yeah. Well, good to know.
Except the Spanish.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, good job, Jessica. Thank you.
Okay, I believe the next up is the tour of the orientation center. So yes, my tour.